This is WGRE 91.5 FM, Greencastle, Indiana.
Good evening and welcome to Music for Life, Music from DePauw. This week, Bonnie Whiting and Veronica Pedrell tell us about an exciting experimental music night coming up. Anna talks to soprano Elika Okerstrom about her rapidly approaching senior recital. I talk to pianist Amanda Hobson about the hardest job in showbiz. Mezzo Brooke Addison and bassist Jacob Peterman tell Burke Stanton about their junior recital next weekend. And hot on the heels of Chanticleer's visit, voice professor Caroline Smith comes in to talk about the phenomenal Bobby McFerrin, our next Green guest artist. There are lots of exciting things going on in the DePauw School of Music, and we're glad you could join us for Music for Life. Last Sunday, we had an absolutely astounding concerto winners concert with the orchestra and eight amazingly talented students at DePauw. And throughout our episode this week, all of the music from the producer's vault will be music from that concert, showing off the great talent that we have here at DePauw. Here is Matt Champagne, our producer, introducing Julie Strouser's fantastic work.
From this year's Concerto Competition Winners Concert of April 6th, 2014, here's the DePauw University Orchestra and soprano Julie Strouser, under the direction of Orsina Smith, performing C'est l'histoire amoureuse from Auber's opera Manon Lescaut.
Oh! on Monday, April 14th at 9 p.m., in an unusual place, in the Great Hall here in the Green Center, which is just kind of an experimental place to perform, appropriately so, because we're going to do a night of experimental music. And here to chat with me about this rather new and unusual endeavor is Veronica Pedrell and Bonnie Whiting. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
So you're going to have to tell me about this. This is really cutting edge.
Well, we're calling it DePauw Underground, and it's not just music students who are involved. We actually have some people from dance and creative writing involved in what is just going to be an experimental music and arts experience. And a lot of it is going to be student-led, even though there will also be some faculty performances. But the point is to have something that is an alternative to the concert hall experience, so that people will be coming and going as they please. They will be pulling up chairs or sitting on the floor, wandering in and out, and watching what's happening from different areas in the space.
So in addition to having some pieces of music performed, and the percussion ensemble is doing a piece. You're doing a piece, Bonnie, which includes percussion as well as electronics. Bonnie and I are doing a piece together that includes percussion and electronics, and will feature some dancers along with it, which is related to a project I've been working on. And in addition to that, there's one of our English faculty is going to be presenting some electronic music of his own. What else is happening, Bonnie?
Eric Edberg is bringing his improvisational chamber music class to do something all together. And, you know, a few of the creative writing students will be reading some works. And what David Krause in English is doing is actually using the music program Ableton and playing something that'll sound a lot more like electronic dance music than what we usually hear in our concert halls. But the point is to bring an alternative experience with a lot of different kinds of music and art.
Wow. So will this be a pop-up, or do people know about it? Or is it just to surprise folks? Are they getting invitations? How are we pulling this off?
We initially wanted to do just a pop-up, but then we got so much interest that actually there will be posters going up soon. We'll send out an email, and people will be absolutely invited to come at 9 p.m. on April 14th.
Wow, that sounds absolutely fascinating. Thanks for coming in to chat about it.
Thank you.
Great.
Also from this year's Concerto Competition Winners Concert, here's the DePauw University Orchestra under the direction of Orsina Smith with soloist Emily Barnash, soprano, performing the Song to the Moon from Antonín Dvořák's opera Rusalka.
Lord, be thou Hi, this is student producer Burke Stanton. Joining me today in the studio are Brooke Addison.
Hi, guys.
And Jacob Peterman.
Hello.
And thanks so much for coming in. And you're going to be talking about your upcoming recital. When is that?
It is on Saturday, April 19th at 5 p.m. It's in Thompson Recital Hall.
It will be a great chance to hear a fabulous mezzo-soprano, Brooke.
Aw, and a great bass player, Jacob Peterman.
Thank you. We're also going to be playing a duet, which I don't think many people have actually heard a string bass player and a mezzo-soprano play and sing together. There'll be some free food afterwards.
Recital attendance. Very exciting.
And you're going to see our beautiful faces.
So there are a lot of good reasons to come.
Lots of good reasons.
Now, what's the title of the piece that you're playing together?
It is Cottaspeme. It's from Handel's Julius Caesar.
And were there any challenges in putting that together, as it's not necessarily conventional duo?
There were some balance things that we needed to work out, and then just because of the time period, the ornamentation, and getting that to work together.
For the bass part, just playing it stylistically correct and matching with Brooke was a little bit difficult.
But we worked that all out, and it sounds really good, so you should come hear it.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there performing with Jacob.
Yeah, there will also be, along with our duet, I and three other bass players are going to be playing a David Anderson bass quartet, really funky and crazy, and there's not really many words that can describe it.
I don't think so. People will have to come out and listen.
Yeah, you'll have to come and hear it.
Would you say that you have a favorite piece or one that's especially meaningful to either of you?
I think
that's a hard question.
The bass quartet for me, because it was probably the most difficult to learn. And as bass players, we usually don't get opportunities to do things like this. So it was fun to collaborate with fellow students, and not only just Brooke, but others.
How about you, Brooke?
I really love my English set. It's by Amy Beach. It's the Three Browning songs. It follows this woman's journey through love and exploring those emotions and seeing how to deal with that. I think it's fun. It's relatable. It's English. There's lots of things to love.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great. Will you remind our listeners one more time of when your recital is going to be?
Sure. It is April 19th. That's a Saturday at 5 p.m. at Thompson Recital Hall.
All right, and thank you very much for coming in and talking to me about it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
From this year's Concerto Competition Winners Concert of April 6th, 2014, here's the DePauw University Orchestra and clarinetist Dan Hickey performing the third movement from Louis Spohr's Fourth Clarinet Concerto. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, this is Anna Gatdula. Joining me in the studio today is Elika Okerstrom. Hi, Elika.
Hi, Anna.
And she's here to talk about her upcoming senior recital. So, Elika, when is your senior recital?
My senior recital is Saturday, April 19th at 3 p.m.
And where is it?
It will be in Thompson Recital Hall.
Cool. And what are you performing?
Doing a really wide range of repertoire for my recital. Mm-hmm. Everything from Baroque Handel all the way up into modern day composers like Eric Whitaker and Jake Hagee,
with a
bunch of stuff in between.
That's awesome. How was the preparation for this recital? How was that process?
It's really intense, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh,
it's
no.
Definitely doable, but an hour is quite a bit of music, especially
right.
when you're memorizing everything and mm-hmm. you've got a lot going on. But mm-hmm. senior recitals are great just because you get to really pick repertoire that you love
mm-hmm.
and something that really reflects who you are as a musician. So
how long have you been planning for this senior recital?
Some of the rep I had picked out at the end of last year.
Oh, wow. As soon as your junior recital is over?
As soon as the junior recital is done, you start planning this one. But then I also made a couple changes in the fall semester. But yeah, everything's been set in place for a while.
That's awesome. And so what are you most excited about performing? And what should our audience be most excited about listening to?
I'm really excited actually to perform my Whitaker pieces.
Okay.
I'm doing his 5 Hebrew love songs for soprano, violin, and piano.
Ooh, nice.
I've got a couple of guests coming in to help me out with that. I think it's going to be exciting just because it's in Hebrew. It's something totally mm-hmm. modern that a lot of people aren't familiar with.
Right.
So that'll add a new dynamic. But in terms of what the audience should expect, I go through a lot of different genres, but also kind of emotional content is very different. There will
good.
Be laughs, maybe some tears.
Hopefully some good tears.
Good tears. But yeah, it should be a really fun program.
Cool. Well, I'm excited. I'll be there.
Awesome.
And do you mind saying again when your recital is?
April 19th at 3 p.m.
in Thompson Recital Hall. Thanks, Elika.
Thank you.
From the Concerto Competition Winners Concert of April 6th, 2014, here's baritone Blake Lambton, along with the DePaul University Orchestra under the direction of Orsineth Smith, performing Largo al Factotum from Rossini's The Barber of Seville.
Col caballere, con la donnetta, la 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 la, col cavaliere, la 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 la, la la la. Che per vivere, che per piacere, che per piacere. Di qualità, tutto mi chiedono, tutto mi vogliono, donne ragazzi, vecchie fanciulle, qua la parrucca, presso la barba, qua la sanguigna, presso il vieto, tutto mi chiedono, tutto mi vogliono, tutto mi chiedono, tutto mi vogliono, qua la parrucca, presso la barba, presso il vieto, e Figaro. Figaro, ahimè, ahimè, che foglia, ahimè, che foglia, un uol volta, per carità, per carità, per carità, un uol volta, un uol volta, un uol volta, per carità. E Figaro, son qua, e Figaro, son qua, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro su, Figaro giù, Figaro su, Figaro giù, pronto moltissimo, sento mi famine, sono effettato della città, della città, della città, della città, della città. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, a te fortuna, te fortuna, te fortuna non mancherà, la 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 la, a te fortuna, te fortuna, te fortuna non mancherà, sono il fegato della città, sono il fegato della città, della città, della città, della città.
Joining me in the studio to chat about life as an accompanist in a very busy school of music is one of our piano folks here at DePauw, Amanda Hobson. Welcome.
Hello.
Folks might be surprised to know what a day on your calendar looks like.
But can I try to describe it? Let's see. Actually, I did have a student standing outside my door today. She said, I was just looking at your schedule. She said, it's kind of back to back. I said, yes, yes, it is. Well, I also do some teaching, but more of my load is accompanying. For instance, this afternoon, I went to two lessons in Caroline Smith's studio, half an hour each, playing for two singers, and then ran back to my office and rehearsed with a trumpet student for half an hour for an upcoming jury, and then went back to Caroline's studio and rehearsed with two more singers. Attended a lesson, did rehearsals and lesson time with them. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here, and then I have two more lessons to attend right after this. So I go to voice lessons primarily, but I also am playing for a trumpet student this semester, played for a tuba student last semester, and play for their lessons, rehearse with them outside of the lessons, play for their recitals.
And you also coordinate all of the other accompanists.
I do.
How many of you are there?
You know, it's funny, I lose track. I think we have 7 or 8 right now. I'd have to sit and tally them up in my head.
Yeah. So this is 7 or 8 people who basically just stand and deliver. Here's a piece of music. I need you to accompany me for this.
Right.
And so while the student might be practicing this for weeks on end, you guys get it for a few minutes and off you go.
For some of the music, yeah. Unfortunately, we sometimes do get it very last minute. It's helpful. We can get it farther ahead. But sometimes, yeah, it's just put right in front of you. And in fact, I'm now playing for the guest bassoonist on tomorrow morning's recital because we had a communication snafu, I think, and I found out Sunday that he needed an accompanist.
Sunday.
So
okay.
Luckily, the piece is not very hard. But yeah, I'm going to put it together tonight. I've been practicing it, and we'll rehearse it before the performance tomorrow. So.
And that almost happened with John Corigliano.
It did almost happen. In the winter we have had, the weather, as we all know, has been horrendous. And one day, Greg Martin, valiant soul, was trying his best to get out here in his car and was taking quite a bit of time. And so I was on the hook to play for an aria for Blake Lambton on the performance.
Which was not an easy one.
I had to boot a few students from my studio that day so I could cram some notes into my fingers. But amazingly, Greg made it here, bless him. So I didn't have to, but I almost had to.
You know, when I was a conducting student at Peabody, I remember
that I would be studying the score for quite some time and getting my head wrapped around it, and then in would walk some pianist who would be handed the score, who would sit down, move all of those lines down to just two, and play the thing out of their fingers at sight. Yeah. And here I've been practicing it for months on end, and this person is sight reading a 18-line score.
Whee.
You know, you guys always amaze me, and we probably take advantage of you because you kind of do this miraculous thing over and over.
It can sometimes happen. I think we've got a pretty good culture here, though. The students, I think, for the most part, respect our time and really try to get things to us ahead of time. There are occasional moments when, yeah, they think we're gods, which is nice, I guess, but we're not. So, yeah, I think I said to you one time, I wish we had, you know, like a little vending machine, ka-ching, you know, and out would come the accompanist who knew the piece, but it doesn't quite work that way. But yeah.
And it is interesting. I think people would be surprised at how much different music you play in just one day, because you go from one end of the musical spectrum to the other.
Right. When I first started as a full-time accompanist, I was hired to do 25 hours a week of playing. And now I do about half of that because I've diversified. I also teach and do, as you mentioned, accompanying coordination and that kind of thing. But I think John Cloudfelter does, I think, 23 hours a week. And I think several others are in that ballpark. Tony Weinstein, probably the same. And so it's a lot of music that you've got in your head.
Yeah, the amount of music that you cover is really just astounding. Mm-hmm. And I think that we think, well, we've been preparing this and we'll just hand this to our accompanist. And in the case of some of the vocal music, that piano accompaniment is not that difficult. And in some of the instrumental music, it's more like a piano concerto with accompaniment by a saxophone or something rather than the other way around.
I remember being very surprised when I was a sophomore in college when I was asked to accompany a cellist, and I had never played a Beethoven cello accompaniment before, you know, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, there were parts where I was playing, you know, 16th notes every which way, and she
was holding all the little black notes. And then she's holding a double whole note.
Yeah, exactly. Just not to say their part is easy either, but I was unaware at that age that some of them could be that evenly balanced.
Right. And I think that those of us who've been around the block or the upperclassmen who've been here for a while know how important accompanists are to our work and how our entire performance is in your hands. You know, I remember just the other day in the recital hour reminding people to be sure to acknowledge their accompanist, lest they modulate on you the next time you perform.
Yes.
It's always fun to watch you guys on the recital hour because you've got new performers, you know, freshmen and sophomores who are just coming on board, and you really are coaching them right through that entire thing. They're leaning on you and the eye contact of, yes, it's okay, you can now do this. And, you know, you come to trust your accompanist to get you through a lot.
Yeah, and it's great. It's one of the things I like best about my job here, actually, is oftentimes I'll get matched with someone as a freshman, you know, and so I get to work with that person for 4 years and help them and watch them grow, and we get to be kind of friends, you know, mentor relationship. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's fun to watch them develop over a few years and think, wow, I remember when that voice was just beginning to blossom.
And I often will remind them in their senior year, like, remember when you couldn't count this, you know, your freshman year or something, and that, you know, just to get them some perspective on what they've been able to do. Yeah.
Yeah, the life of an accompanist, probably the most overworked and underappreciated, well, no, I think deans are probably we'll give it to accompanists.
Oh.
And we've also been able to celebrate a new role for you at DePauw as a recording artist because your CD with Kerry Jennings just came out this year.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I had never done an official, you know, release of any CD before. So 2 summers ago, Professor Kerry Jennings and I did a recording of Modern American Art Song, which is Modern art song is probably my favorite thing to do, actually. And so he and I picked out music together and were able to work directly with one of the composers, Libby Larson, when she came.
That was great.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So yeah, the CD was just released. And I think actually a few weeks ago, he said he went on Amazon for some reason and it was the featured disc that day. So
How about that?
Really exciting.
That's
good.
Well, thanks for coming in to chat about life as an accompanist and for all you do for us here at DePauw, and for all of our students who are listening, remember, be kind to your accompanist. They are the key to your success. Thanks for coming in to chat.
Thank you.
From this year's Concerto Competition Winners Concert of April 6th, 2014, here's cellist Peter Lachman, along with the DePauw University Orchestra under the direction of Orsinath Smith, performing the first movement of Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto, Opus 33. Thank you.
This is an embarrassment of riches for the DePauw School of Music, as the Green guest artist concerts bring us Chanticleer, and then 3 days later, Bobby McFerrin. So right on the heels of our Chanticleer concert last night, we now have Bobby McFerrin, the vocal phenom, coming to DePauw on Tuesday, April 15th at 7:30 in Kresge. And he will be bringing his program Spiritual, which is a fantastic tribute to the American spiritual. And here to chat with me about Bobby is one of our vocal professors, Caroline Smith. Welcome.
Thank you.
So Bobby is kind of crazy as a vocalist.
I would even go so far as to say it almost defies description.
Mm-hmm.
I would love somehow, if I could, as a vocal pedagogue, to have a camera that goes somehow inside to see how this really magic works.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly a marvelous phenomenon, and we are so fortunate to have him coming, and everyone, and certainly vocalists, but everyone around should be taking part and enjoying this.
Yeah, I understand his range is almost 4 octaves.
Again, this is
That's not
human.
Right, right.
Even years ago, when he first broke onto the scene of expanding what we were used to hearing as conventional kind of singing, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden making these kind of sometimes bizarre noises
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that then lead into all kinds of other wonderful things.
Right.
But no, the whole aspect is there.
You know, when
different
he's,
styles.
When he's conducting,
incredible.
You know, he's recorded CDs where he's conducting, but he sings the concerto part, even if the concerto part wasn't written for a voice.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah. And he puts that together. Then he also does jazz where he plays the bass lines. He sings the bass lines while he sings the melody lines simultaneously. And he does this really interesting feat. Now, what we're going to hear is Spiritual, Spirit You All. It's a tribute to the American spiritual that was so meaningful to his father. But he also does jazz, and he also does classical, and he does this crazy mix of things. And it's interesting, the way that he does it when he's a vocal soloist is he tricks your ear into hearing things that aren't there. So he'll start a bass line, and then you kind of start imagining the bass line, and then he'll start jump up and sing the vocal part. And he's tapping the hi-hat part on the microphone while he's doing it, and then he's playing the bass line on his chest while
he's... He's basically a one-man band.
Yeah, crazy how they do that.
With all body parts. I mean, it really is kind of crazy. Crazy, but wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just tell you that I happen to be looking at something else for tickets in Seattle later this year and happened to notice this exact same show
Spiritual.
Was there on their list and everything. And I clicked just out of curiosity. Folks, you need to get to the Green Center.
How much were the tickets in Seattle?
They started around 95.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and see, you know, he was just in Chicago, and I understand the high-priced tickets in Chicago were $200.
Yeah, well, it went up from 95.
Yeah.
So,
and so here he is for $12 and 15 at the door, and he's right around the corner. This is going to be a really remarkable night. He's bringing several singers. It's a tribute to the American spiritual. That's called Spiritual. It features Bobby McFerrin as our next Green guest artist concert on Tuesday, April 15th. That's tax day. He's famous for a tune he will not be singing that night called Don't Worry, Be Happy, but we thought that was somehow appropriate on tax day. April 15th here in Kresge. You won't want to miss it, and thanks for coming in to chat about it.
Thank you.
From the Concerto Competition Winners Concert of April 6th, 2014, here's the DePauw University Orchestra and Rachel Robin under the direction of Orsinath Smith, performing the first movement of Prokofiev's Third Piano Concerto, Opus 26. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Music for Life. We love hearing from listeners. You can contact us by emailing musicforlife@depaul.edu. We're also on Facebook at DePaul Music for Life, and you can subscribe to our show on iTunes by searching there for DePaul Music for Life. Our student producers are Anna Gatdula, Matt Skiba, Rachel Clark, Katie Sherman, and Burke Stanton. Our online editor is Veronica Pedrell, and our show is produced by Matthew Champagne in the Judson and Joyce Green Center for the Performing Arts at DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana. I'm Mark McCoy, Dean of the School of Music. Thanks for listening to our show. Keep music in your life, and have a great week.
It's Music for Life.